Only down on the housing and homelessness services detail sheet that that allocated $50,000 in new investment in trash cleanup and toilet cleanup in the neighborhoods. I co-chair the Safety and Livability Committee for the Northwest District Association, and one of the things that we hear a lot is that regardless of people's positions on the safe sleep and the ramifications of that, one of the things that's that really concerns people is the ongoing issue with trash in these areas, because the cleanup is very much lacking at this point. I also organize a third Saturday cleanup in the Northwest District, and the amount of trash that our volunteers are picking up has been going up exponentially since this started. So that $50,000, what is that in addition to? It's a new investment. So what's the existing trash and toilet investment? This is on the Housing and Homelessness Services detail. If you look down on the last page of that, I don't know if it's. I'm looking at the online version. I don't know if it was provided.
Yeah, this is it's not in the documents we handed out today. It is something, though, that we put online, Mayor, last week, the proposed 2016-17 budget housing and homeless services breakdown. It's three pages.
It's for campsite services, specifically for non-camp trash and toilet service. And when I read non-camp here, my assumption is that this is in areas that are not officially designated as campsites.
And so your question, is that in addition to a base budget, or is that the total amount?
Right, is that in addition to a base budget?
I believe that's the total amount.
Okay, that's very helpful, thank you.
Yeah.
Because
other line items that fund other trash cleanup and campsite cleanup.
Well, yeah, but my worry is that, there's a lot of investment being made. But one of the things that has the biggest impact on sort of citizen discontent is the ongoing trash issue and other toilet issues with non-camp sites where they're not officially designated. And I can tell you that when I look at a $50,000 line item for citywide for addressing this issue, my feeling is that I would really love to know where that number came from. I mean, in terms of providing an estimate, because my expectation is that that is not a service that has been provided directly by city employees for the most part. That's been something that's been contracted out. And I can tell you that what we have in place now is far from sufficient in terms of meeting that need. And this is, I'm going to wrap up here, but this is really something that significantly affects the perception of the city of Portland, both by its residents and by people who come to visit us. I and other members of the Safety and Livability Committee and my neighbors, you know, we're pretty active about using PDX Reporter and other mechanisms to report these when we find them, but it doesn't seem to have any effect on actual cleanup of those items. I mean, so I've gone by the same site several days in a row, taken pictures, reported it through PDX Reporter, and there doesn't seem to be any result from that. So just in terms, I think this is something that council is going to want to look at, because it really does affect, and I don't think this isn't a huge investment that the city's going to have to make in order to address this more expeditiously, but it can have a big effect on people's perception of the city's responsiveness. So I would encourage you to look carefully at that.
Yeah, no, very good point. And what we ought to make sure we do, I don't remember that particular worksheet, is pull out and detail what the overall program of effort is with respect to homelessness and camp cleanup. There are funds in this budget for the day storage facilities that we've created. There's funds for porta potties and trash cleanup. There's also it's in the rates side of the budget, because it's actually covered through the garbage rates, an increase in the number of business districts where we do trash can pickup in the business district on the main street. We do that in some business districts now. We'll do it in more of them with this budget. And then there are funds specifically for what OMF has been contracting for in campsite cleanup. So Tara's taking notes, but it would be good, I think, for the budget committee to see a recap of what we're doing now, what it costs, and what we're proposing to do more. And your point is well taken, which is I'm not sure if it's enough more in respect to that line item.
I just wanted to, again, differentiate between what is considered to be camp and non-camp cleanup,
right,
too. Because with Safe Sleep, there are people sleeping all over the place,
right?
And those aren't camps, according to the... And so what we have is we have, in our neighborhood, we have dozens of places where there is trash from people who are just sleeping wherever. And we, as neighbors, are the ones who end up cleaning that up. Mm-hmm. And so, and reporting it does not result in getting it cleaned up.
Mayor, just a question to clarify. On the sheet that you prefaced coming in, on the backside, you talk about bureau cuts of $5.3 million. But over here on the approved budget, it looks like it is $4.6 million. There's about a $700,000 difference. Where is that?
Yeah, what is that?
I can walk you through that a little bit. So the 4.6 is the ongoing bureau reduction. So if you add that plus the 204 coming out of contingency and the line right above it, and then if you look on the one-time and the other decisions, there are some one-time reductions for BPS Transit Corridor development and 150 for the Parks New Portlanders. So if you add those together, you get to that $5.3 million number. It's a combined one-time and ongoing number.
Okay, so you have to add those various numbers to get there.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Back to housing. I'd be reticent if I didn't bring this up today, especially since I spent 2.5 hours last night with the housing committee discussing the inclusionary zoning as well as the rehab program for East Portland. When the original budget was proposed in CBO's recommendation, East Portland, our housing group, which represents East Portland, it was very pleased with the equity that was finally happening in housing. But the mayor's budget for the rehab program cut it by about two-thirds to less than $500,000 for the new rehab program that the Housing Bureau recommended. And this was, their recommendation was based on East Portland's people seeing what's happened. We're unique out there. We already have a lot of low-income housing, whether it be by design, as we say, that's funded through some municipality or through CDCs, or accident, because a lot of our housing is at the 60% or below. What we have is a lot of housing that's, we shouldn't even be living in, with mold and stuff. And that program, we are seeing a lot of huge rent increase in the public sector, and that was supposed to stabilize housing for people by rehabbing it and keeping it affordable for potentially 10 years. So the question came up, why was that cut? Because it takes much longer to build housing than it is to rehab some housing. And we're in such a crisis, and I'm constantly hearing of people whose rent in our school districts are going up so high they're being forced to move out of their homes, which often they end up in homelessness.
Yeah. Mayor. So let's get Dan and Kurt maybe to respond to that.
And I was just going to say from on the mechanics, Frida, you were referring to the East Portland Home Repair Program.
There were two pieces. There was the rehab, which is rehab of multifamily. And then there was home repair, where home ownership for retention and home ownership. Originally, you didn't recommend the home ownership, but you did recommend the 1.5 for rehab as being a good thing to do out in East Portland. It did finally bring some equality out in East Portland from the Housing Bureau that had not been focusing many dollars there. And for us, the rehab was more important than building additional affordable housing, because then you still have those those ones that have a lot of code violations that need to be addressed. And by addressing them and getting affordability for 10 years would keep more people in place. I know as a school board member, we want our children to stay in place. The mobility is horrendous on a child when they have to move. And if we could, the ones we have there right now, if we could get them to be able to stay there, it's a focus, and that's one of my focuses on this housing committee, is to get some stability for our families. So, but I was just curious, when the question came up, and we had some housing bureau people there, no one understood why that particular program was cut. And so I said, I'd ask today why it was cut.
Let's get Kurt and Jessica maybe to explicate that for us. Where are we on this issue?
So Jessica Kennard, City Budget Office. So the $1.5 million requested program that came from the Bureau was requested as an ongoing program. It was reduced in the mayor's budget on a one-time basis. So the full $1.5 million will come back in the Bureau's budget for the program next year. I don't want to speak for the mayor, but my understanding from the conversations was that it was reduced on a one-time basis to fund other one-time priorities and to facilitate sort of a slower rollout of the program.
Yeah, and I wanted to sort of on that line, in a lot of the balancing on the housing and homelessness programs, some of the things that the Housing Bureau had proposed in their base budget, that money was reprogrammed to a Home for Everyone expenditures, but it was certainly stayed in homelessness services overall. It was just really a question of which one of those programs was going to go to. And I think there's an argument to be made that the Home for Everyone is going to serve the entire city, including East Portland, in terms of those funding. So again, maybe Director Krieger can talk more about that.
Well, I think it's a policy choice. We are certainly grateful for $487,500. We can launch a program for $487,500. It won't be as robust as we would like to have. I think, frankly, even the 1.5 was meant to be a starting point for a program that should mature as the program matures. We'd also like to see it synchronized with BDS's code enforcement actions, so that instead of just compelling owners to make code changes for which they may be challenged to get in their budgets without raising rents, that we have a means by which to help them make those code changes. We've talked also with Multnomah County about changes to the multi-program that may confer a property tax exemption to the same owner. So we'll use the 487.5. If it's more, we'll use that too. But we think we can get a little bit more bang for our dollar if we synchronize BDS and the property tax exemption with the 487.5. And we'll be back with a greater, more robust request as the budget allows.
But walk us through again, because I didn't follow you, Jessica. I should. But the change of one time to change from ongoing to one time here.
So $1.5 million was requested as ongoing.
What are we doing this year?
This year we have 487.
Okay.
But next year in the base there will be $1.5 million again.
So they requested 1.5. We funded 487.
Correct.
Okay. So it's staying the same.
No. So it was requested as part of the new $5 million that was provided in the Bureau's base.
Right.
So it shows up differently in the decision package tracker. So that essentially exists in their base budget.
Right.
What we did was we reduced it to 487 just for this year. And it will exist. It will bump back up to $1.5 million in next year's base.
Is that because some of the $5 million can be committed to this?
Correct.
Okay.
So it's not an additional new 1.something million next year.
It's a continuation.
It's not. I'm starting to get worried about the number of things that we're putting into budget notes, and you had said that you wanted to avoid the next mayor taking over and having a huge deficit. Does this add to the deficit or not?
It does not. It's part of the Bureau's base as allocated by council last fall.
And I'm well aware of that, having spent quite a bit of time last night discussing it. I know you're bumping it back up. That was some of the discussion. The biggest concern was the homelessness problem and the fact that many of our residents in East Portland are being priced out of their rental units, even when they have code violations, and that this program we were hoping would provide some stability a little quicker than having to build housing, because I know we have at least one NOFA that was approved in East Portland on Stark, only because it's in my district, so I have to worry about kids. But it'll probably be 2 years before it's online. So we had thought this rehab would solve two problems. It wouldn't increase the amount of tax-exempt property extensively in the district, and it would keep our current residents in place. And that's why we had the big concern about this reduction the very first year when we're in the midst of a major crisis. I never thought I'd see the rents going up the way they are in the David Douglas area. And most our medium income there is 60% of the median family income in Portland. So they can't take even a $50 hit, let alone the $200 to $300 a month some of them are receiving.
Other questions, issues to raise?
I just had one more comment, actually. And this is on the subject of body cameras, as you've been discussing. I want to urge council to move forward with those. I think it's very important to the citizens of this city to see that that happens. And I do think in the long term, it will help with the police recruiting issue.
I do too. Thank you.
I think there's a number of us who feel that way. I do want to remind everybody that we haven't actually made the decision yet. With the last time we had a public hearing on that, there was significant public concern about how the cameras would work. So I think it's perhaps prudent to put it into the budget, thinking that we might do it. It's also something that the decision hasn't been made yet and it would take a while to implement. I understand there's also grants that we may be able to get to implement that.
I will be glad to see it start.
Okay, other questions, concerns, follow-up before we prepare for the hearing on Thursday night? So.
I do want to express my overall concern about the budget. After I think it was the penultimate revenue forecast came out in March, I thought we were going to have a hard time balancing the budget with that new revenue because the forecast we had then was not sufficient to cover what I understood were our most pressing needs. We needed to address the cost of the parks arbitration. We needed to restore the 13 firefighter positions. Chief O'Day was very clear to me that having the $2 million worth of background investigators was essential. I had made it very clear that we needed an additional investment in BOAC. So I felt starting in March that we needed about another $5 million. Otherwise, we were going to be in serious trouble. But then the revenue forecast, last revenue forecast came out and added about $5 million in ongoing general fund. And it wasn't until about 11 days ago that, in fact, exactly 11 days ago, that I realized that we were going to be asked to support $3 million in increased police staffing costs, $1.6 million for body cameras, and $2.3 million for a diversion program, which sounds like a fine idea, but I've only learned about it 11 days ago. I think that if we're going to, it may be that there's a case to be made for a tax increase to cover all of those things, but I think that it should be made more slowly and deliberately with more public discussion than this. And I'm also very concerned about the idea of approving a budget with $3 million in police salary increases that's going to roll up to $9 million next year, leaving us, unless there's significant increase in revenues starting next year, $6 million in the hole. So those are the concerns I have with this budget.
And I share many of those concerns. And I think there will be a lot of work to be done. And of course, we'll want to hear from the public. To me, the big question is the tax increase of approximately $9 million worth paying for approximately $9 million in police services. And that we certainly want to be supportive to our police officers and to our police commissioner. We need to fund basic services and make sure that there are ways to address the morale, as Frieda mentioned. I don't know that money alone gets there. And so I think that the Community Oversight Advisory Board and others are doing wonderful work in partnership with the Police Department of Justice on the overall police reform, and we want to be able to encourage that. And at the same time, $9 million is a lot of money. And bargaining would usually have opened in January. It's been opened now. It seems to me there should be ways to provide incentives for new officers and then consider the ongoing funding in the next budget. I also wanted to put on the table that in a normal budget where we wouldn't have that huge question on the table, at this point we'd be doing tweaks around the edges. I very much appreciate that the budget does fully fund the parks arbitration decision and the conversion of seasonal positions with very low wages and no benefits into permanent positions with union wages and benefits. And just to be clear, that's not lavish wages and benefits. That's a little over $15 an hour for most of the positions. But Mayor, I very much appreciate you fully funding that, including preschool, not taking cuts that we know the community is concerned about because they came to the budget forums on Buckman Pool and Selwood Community Center and the Parks for New Portlanders. So thank you for putting those in your budget, and I am committed to helping them stay in the budget. If there were more money, and if we do some shuffling, some of the things that I am interested in, we still don't have an administrative assistant for the director of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, which is a bureau of over 50 people with tremendously complex services because it involves thousands of volunteers. So to not have an administrative assistant in Amalia Alcantara's office, which almost all the other bureaus have one, is something that's a priority for me. Secondly, we're not funding additional park rangers for East Portland, and that's something that's been in the budget request from Parks as long as I've been the commissioner. We have dedicated staffing for the west side, and we don't have any dedicated staffing for the east side. Again, I appreciate council's action in the spring budget monitoring process to allocate money for rangers for the spring water corridor for this summer. East Portland needs rangers in its parks year-round just as much as everybody else does. And so for both East and North Portland, maybe looking at the East Precinct coverage, it would be wise to fund rangers who, especially while we don't have enough police officers, the rangers can intervene for some of the more nuisance and low volume and non-criminal activities in some cases. So similarly to the crime prevention position in the Office of Neighborhood Involvement, which is being cut. Those folks are much less expensive than police officers, and they do amazing work in problem solving, mediation, working with community members to try to solve, to find solutions that maybe don't involve police officers. So that would be my third priority. And then finally, the council last year chose to add a sixth partner in the Diversity and Civic Leadership Program. We just acknowledged Momentum Alliance in that process. We also just last week had a wonderful presentation from APANO, the Asian Pacific Islanders of Oregon Network, and they came very, very close to winning the initial award. If there was a place that we could find some additional funding to continue our equity work, because that's a word that I don't think has been said so far today. As we look at basic services, we still need to be looking at who's not getting any and how can we support those communities. Again, Mayor, thank you for funding the New Portlanders program. We'll be having a presentation on the proposed New Portlanders Policy Council in a couple of weeks. And so it's not that the bureaus or the mayor are forgetting those services. I wanted to highlight it as part of this budget discussion to make sure that the community knows that we haven't forgotten, that there are some folks who are still left behind and that we need to continue to work to restore services to them.
Other comments, questions?
Mayor, I just have a few comments. First of all, this is the fourth budget that we've had the privilege of working with you on. This is your last year. And I just want to state for the record that I think you deserve a lot of credit for the way you have led the budget process in all 4 years. The first year was a little harder than the last year. We had to cut. We had to find $21 million in cuts. But along the way, you brought some discipline to this process. You were extraordinarily collaborative. And ultimately, I think each budget reflected our shared values at a moment in time. Last year, there was a heavier emphasis on transportation needs. This year, on safety net and housing needs. It is one of the three unique powers that a mayor has in our system, making a budget, proposing a budget. I've worked with three mayors. I want to begin by complimenting you on the work you've done on the budget process, and it has been an honor to work with you on these budgets. I also want to just note that regardless of what the council ends up doing with your proposal, under a couple of scenarios that are under consideration, this will be an investment budget. The question is, are we investing for the short term or the long term? You've made you've already made your closing argument earlier in sort of defending the approach that you're proposing and explaining it. And you and I had a chance to talk yesterday, and I appreciate the position you've taken. I can't support that position for a number of reasons, but I think you have made a compelling case. I think ultimately, one of the things that I'm hearing from the community is not so much the marginal impact of a proposed tax increase, as you have framed it, the amount that falls on everyone's back going forward, but it's the sort of straw that breaks the camel's back syndrome. We have, in the last couple of years, we as a state and as a city have asked our business community to absorb new costs, and they include things like earned sick leave, an increase in the minimum wage, healthcare costs, new fees, and other local costs, utility fees. And the way I look at it, and you've made this case, I think, eloquently in the SDC context, is I think it's important for us to step back and look at the cumulative impact of what we asked people to absorb. And the business community, we're in a recovery mode. That could change tomorrow. If the Fed starts tightening and the economy changes and there's a shock, we could be back to a cut budget next year. But I think ultimately there's going to be a good faith disagreement on this council about whether to add the new revenue package. And we're not here to decide that question today. You're presenting your budget. But what I appreciate, Charlie, is that in a remarkable way over 4 years, the final budget has reflected the shared values of this council. And being mayor of this city is not the best job in the world. You get blamed for things that are not within your control, and you don't usually get credit for things that you do. And the first act of business after you're sworn in is you give away about 3/4 of your power by assigning the bureaus to your colleagues, who are, as you know, all very independent-minded and people who have distinct views about how the city should be run. It's a tough job. Making a budget, though, is probably, as Vera Katz would say, the most important job. And you've led us through four good budgets, and I want to just honor that. We're probably going to have a good faith disagreement about the new revenue piece of this budget, which means we're going to have to, in a very short amount of time, consider an alternative approach. And so because we have a week left, what I hope happens is that Andrew and the council have a chance over the next couple days to consider alternatives. If the council decides to pursue an alternative, we're going to have a substitute ready to discuss by Friday, I think, to keep this on track. And Mayor, you made this budget. I think your engagement in shaping the budget, if it's the council's will, to take the new revenue out and live within our means is going to require your full engagement. My recommendation is we set a goal of having a substitute by Friday. Andrew has done a great job of sort of identifying the new funding and the expanded funding. I think there's a roadmap here if the council chooses to go. This is going to be an investment budget with or without new revenue. But I take your point seriously that we have a chance, in your view, to invest for the long term or the short term. And that maybe is uniquely what a lame duck mayor can put on the table, because you are outside of the political context giving us your best judgment. And if the council does not ultimately agree with you, it's not, in my judgment, a repudiation of your budget. It is just a statement that we'd like to live within the context of the remarkable run of surplus we've had over 2 years, which is cumulatively over $85 million. And I think the sense is that we can get a budget without new revenue. We ought to at least go through that exercise so we have something to debate. But whether we go that route or not, I think you deserve a lot of credit for the way you have led the budget process, and I want to thank you publicly.
May I just add one more thing? And thank you, Commissioner Fish, for framing that nice. I agree with many of the things, everything that you said. I need to speak for my fellow female elected official on the council, on running the city, which is the auditor, and she wanted to make sure that that there is a cut, which was accepted in your budget for the audit performances staff person, which is currently filled. And so, as we're looking to, as Commissioner Fish said, reshape the budget, that's something that I support continuing to fund audit services, because, as we all know, that is our independently elected auditor staff looking at our bureaus and telling us how we can do better. So that's another of the pieces that I think needs some adjustment.
I think people have been keeping track of these issues, so we've got a list to work from. Anything else, Dan, that you want to mention? Well, before we close this, I want to thank the council. This is a really important part of the collaborative process here, and it's one that I've enjoyed. And I didn't actually expect that. You know, when I was a commissioner working under the leadership of Mayor Katz, I was a little mystified by the amount of time she spent on the budget. And then I became mayor, and I figured it out. So you do have to spend a lot of time on the budget. And actually, one of the things I'll continue to do in private life, even when I'm not a member of this council, and therefore maybe even more credible on the subject than I might be now, is continue to defend the commission form of government, because I think this is a good model. I always have. I thought it was a good model when I was a commissioner. I think it's a good model now. And, you know, there are people who make the case, rhetorically, that we would be better served by a model like Seattle, where the council members have no management responsibility and are only supposed to fill the hours with legislation. And the truth is, there's not 40 hours a week of work to be a city legislator, and so they pick fights with the mayor and have a lot of committees. So I don't think that's a better model. Secondly, one of my favorite conversations on that whole subject, I'm digressing a little bit, Nick, but it's just fun because you mentioned this, was with the then mayor of Pittsburgh, who was here for a visit, and not the current mayor of Pittsburgh. So I'll protect this mayor's anonymity. But he, you know, I told him about our form of government when he was here, and he kind of looked around. He was the only, we were only two people at the lunch table, but he looked around as if someone from Pittsburgh might hear him and say, you know, back home, I'm supposed to manage 26 departments. Nobody can manage 26 departments. So this distributed form of executive leadership actually works, and I appreciate that. I will also continue to raise, as we have on transportation, and hopefully the voters will understand that we need to invest in our streets and in larger tax reform, that we don't have a functional tax system in the city and the state. And the need to raise new revenues for the city will arise, if not this year, soon. If you look at the history of paralysis on this issue, it is pretty unfortunate that we passed Measure 5 in 1990 with the Oregonian editorial board opining that that would lead to the passage of a sales tax in Oregon. 26 years later, no sign of progress on that front. And we all know the situation in transportation finance. If we pass the gas tax measure, we will stop some of the bleeding, but we won't arrest the decline of our city street system. We'll just change the curve a little bit. Part of the education I've had in being mayor is working with other mayors from around the country, and I find out how they finance things. And even though we're an extraordinarily well-managed city, we have a Moody's AAA bond rating, we get a comprehensive annual financial report where our consultant comes in, drops a document that big on the table and says, I have no issues to report because everything's done properly. We're a really well-managed city, but we operate on a really cobbled-together tax system without a sales tax. And particularly when you look at the pressures of growth that we're facing and the need to make big investments, not just the important investments that I proposed in this budget, I hope that we can actually make progress on that bigger front someday, somehow. When I recently talked to the mayor of Phoenix about transportation, he mentioned the $31 billion transit program that they're funding with a third of a cent sales tax increase in the Phoenix area. Let that sink in for a minute. We've spent $4 billion on our transit system over the last 25 years. So this subject of how do you raise taxes for a government that's doing it right is one that I think is important to raise. I'm glad we've raised it in this budget. And we need to keep talking about it regardless of what we do in this one. So I appreciate those thoughts very much. I want to take your suggestion and perhaps schedule a work session for Friday. Or Monday or Tuesday, but before Wednesday, Tuesday morning, Tara is looking dubious.
We don't have a work session scheduled that day, so that'd be a perfect
we
Tuesday
don't.
Morning.
I have a conflict that I can dance in and out of, so we'll work on that. So we'll figure out precise timing. We don't have to announce that now. It's just a regular block in the calendar, I think. So I think we'll use that block. I might ask people's indulgence and move it a half hour one way or another, depending on the conflict that I have with somebody coming to town that wants to give us a lot of money. So
once we confirm the time, we'll officially notice it.
Yeah,
once
we'll issue notice, but we do have to issue notice about Thursday night. So if you got something to say, Tara, go ahead.
I think if, Tara, I think if we, my guess is that at the staff level there can be conversations about a substitute. Mm-hmm. We can have something on the table Friday for further discussion. And I don't think it's going to be as important to have bureau directors present. I think this is for the council to ask questions and have a public conversation about a substitute. But I don't think it's as important to have all the staff present.
We also might be able to do it a little later, depending on do the work session a little later than 9:30. So let's leave that in tension for Tuesday morning, and then figure out the particulars and see if we can't wedge things together. And then I do need to make this announcement, and if there's anything else before we close, which is that we will continue this meeting of the Budget Committee to Thursday, May 12th at 5:30 p.m., originally scheduled for 6:30 p.m., 5:30 p.m. here in Council Chambers, where we'll receive public testimony on the proposed budget here at 1221 Southwest 4th Avenue. So we will continue this hearing until then, and then we will, between now and then, firm up the time of the work session that we're planning to have on Tuesday. Okay?
Thank question.
Yes.
Is that for also for the advisory on next Tuesday?
You are certainly...
Only because I have like four things already booked for Tuesday.
You're certainly welcome to attend.
Only four, just the whole day there, but depending on when you schedule it, I might be able to address one of them. So.
Yeah. No, as always, you're welcome to attend. Obviously, that'll be down to the last strokes of the council trying to make amendments and get ready to adopt the budget.
Sooner we know what time they schedule it for, the better for me to see if I can switch one of my meetings.
All right, we'll do it. Thank you. Thank you all very much. And we are recessed until Thursday at 5:30. Continued.
We need to go.